So we are so excited today. We are the Hallmarkies podcast, and we are here for our second three-timer interview, which makes Nina, along with Catherine Disher, the true queens of our podcast. So this is very exciting, and I'm Rachel. Amber's here.
Hello, everybody. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm not just glitched in a glamorous manner with a crown on my head. I'm just doing audio today.
You can tell them you did not want to get dressed.
I didn't want to get ready. I was babysitting my baby niece, and I was like, no.
No, it's hard. It's hard work being on baby patrol. I get it. I'm going to give you a pass this time, Amber.
So Nina Weinman, amazing writer extraordinaire. You're a three-timer on our podcast. Can you believe it?
It's like that Saturday Night Live sketch. Remember the Saturday Night Live sketch where the hosts were like, it was like a big deal. They got like a coat or a bathrobe. I want my Hallmarkies bathrobe.
I mean, we're working on getting some merch, so be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I want a hall star across it.
Yes, we'll make it happen. So thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we love talking with Nina. One of our favorites. And like we've said before, you would be surprised how often we bring up your name on our podcast.
So I haven't gotten a chance to watch I've been so busy and I haven't gotten a chance to watch the preview specials.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know what to expect here. I don't know what kind of a reaction I'm going to get from you guys.
Well,
Amber, because I don't have a Paul Campbell movie.
Oh, I know. But my favorite thing on the entire of the internet is when you and Paul Campbell are like, oh, hey, let's be best friends. And you both are like, obviously, someday it'll happen. And I'll feel like I made that happen.
Yeah.
You and Paul Campbell will be the best of friends.
That's our dream.
When I do a Paul Campbell movie, you will come visit the set. How about that?
Okay, that we are making happen.
He's awesome. He's such a great guy, and his wife Lori is great too. So yeah. they're really cool people,
and they have the cutest kid.
Yes,
adorable.
Kids also help when people make pretty babies.
So how have you been? We talked to you last in June.
Oh, was it June? So had, I guess, Love at First Dance hadn't aired yet?
Yeah, it was that week, I think, that it was airing.
Okay, so yeah, I had Love at First Dance, and then I had Love at Sea over the summer. And then I have three on Christmas, coming up this Christmas. Two that I wrote and one that I rewrote.
Well, you'll be glad to hear that we both gave positive reviews to both of those. And I still have Love at First Dance very high in my rankings.
Oh, I love that.
For the year, yes. I have Love at First Dance at number 8 in my ranking.
Overall,
57 Hallmark movies this year.
Before Christmas. Get dropped down. I'm preparing myself to go just a little bit lower, like maybe a few spots next.
But I think we have no more non-Christmas movies coming, so it's going to be in the top 10 of 2018 non-Christmas.
Okay.
So congratulations.
Exciting.
And you still have maintained your 3.5 or higher ranking.
So I haven't gone any lower than that?
No. And that is tricky to do.
I know. You guys are hard to please. My goal in life is to make you happy. Oh, I hear that I get like a one sock. No, it's not socks. It's only that Christmas.
The socks are only for anticipation.
Preview only.
Right.
We only assign numbers once we have all the data.
Okay, so I haven't had a chance to watch the preview special. So what's the most highly anticipated by the Hallmarkies?
Well, we're really excited for God Winks because Kimberly Susted and Paul Campbell.
I know that's your dream cast.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Right.
And fun fact, we got to interview them both together.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be a pretty epic podcast.
But I'm actually really excited for The Shoe Addicts because I actually loved that book. I thought it was really funny. And really, I mean, I love Christmas Carol. And so it was sort of a clever new take on Christmas Carol and an homage almost.
It's, you know, Jean Smart with Candace, who's like royalty. And yeah. Marlon, it's such a great cast. It's just heels slam dunky to me.
Yeah. And then there was this other one that has Lori Loughlin and Victor Webster in it that we both ended up giving diamond rings to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of that one. I maybe even was there. It was a really great experience. Like Lori and I pitched it together and a year ago in October. And she is such a pleasure and a joy and a complete pro to work with that we want to do something else together because she's absolutely delightful.
Awesome. Well, Christmas at the Palace is definitely up there for me as well.
Merritt Patterson
and Brittany Bristow, and it's written by Joa Boatkin, who she's just knocked it out of the park for all of her movies so far. So that, you know, makes me really excited. And Brittany Bristow's really cute. And Merritt's cute. And so I'm hopeful that one will be fun.
Okay.
You know, there's been so many princess movies this year. I think there'll be 7. So it would be cool to kind of end it off on a bang. But anyway.
And
sound alike too. The movies all sound alike. So it's, yeah. That's how I can remember them.
How did you feel about the finished product for Love at First Dance and Love at Sea?
Start with Love at First Dance.
Yeah.
I was so proud of that movie. It's one of my very favorite movies that I've done for them. Mm-hmm. And I felt like just everything, like the producers did such an amazing job. Joel Rice, like, really put the money on the screen. They went to New York. They shot a couple days there. They really wanted authenticity and not to be like, oh, we're walking around in New York. And it's like so obviously like Canadian flags in the window. You know, they wanted it to look real. And because she was like Broadway and he wants to do theater, it just had to have some New York in it, instead of stock photos and everything. So I thought it just elevated it so much. And they were such a pleasure to work with. And, you know, Rachel Boston and I, we pitched it together. She produced it too. And I always love working with her. She's a delight and she's one of my dear friends. So working with my friend and going up there with her was really fun. And Becca Tobin, who's sort of a new face, we all know and love Niall and we've all worked with him before, you know, everybody that did this movie, we'd worked with him before, but Becca was sort of new to Hallmark and I couldn't love her more. She's a delight and she was so good and so lovely and such a pro.
Yeah.
I was so proud of.
I really enjoyed it. I thought that it did so many things that most Hallmark movies don't do. I really liked the fact that the choices weren't be with the guy either be with the guy or have a career. Like, she had the choice of, here's option A that I can do. I can stay here and run the school, which is a good choice. Or I have option B where I could go to London and do the maybe braver thing, but also a good choice. Like, neither one was like,
wasn't an option in her decision.
I really thought that was great. I really liked the fact that his fiance wasn't an ice queen of business. Like, she seemed to really have a passion for what she was doing and really seemed to love it. And so I really enjoyed that. I thought you did a great job with the breakup scene. I thought that it was actually really sweet and between two people who were friends and who would continue to be friends. I thought you nailed that. I really liked the ending because it was just like, I don't know, it was just the beginning of the relationship, because they hadn't had a relationship. Like, right. They had just been,
They were both being appropriate, and we never, it was a tough nut to crack, only because we wanted to make sure that when you're doing something where somebody is falling in love, when they're engaged to somebody else, you have to be so careful to protect the integrity. You don't want this shrew of a fiance, because it makes him look stupid.
Right.
This girl. And you don't want her to look like she's like trying to put her claws into a guy who's already taken. So it was really important that we built it as a friendship.
Yeah.
And that they just understood each other better than anybody had ever understood them. And that was why they fell in love. And this developing from a friendship into that, nobody looked like a jerk in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you did a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tough balance, and I didn't feel like either of them were cheating, really. I did really wish that we got more of a something between whatever his girlfriend's name was and Jason Saramack.
Yeah.
But
we had a little bit of that initially, and it got cut.
Yeah.
We just wanted to keep the focus on the two main characters. And we were hoping that it was sort of like an unspoken thing that you kind of knew that they were going to end up together too, because they spoke the same language and they had a shared passion and they got each other, but we didn't end up going there in the movie.
Yeah.
But that's the intention. And we were talking about, if we get a sequel, and then we never heard anything if they wanted to do that. But I was going to definitely go there in the sequel. I was going to start a sequel with a wedding, and you'd think it was their wedding, but it would actually have been Adriana and Gavin's wedding.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked about this a number of times on our podcast that like, romance novels, they'll start with one couple, and then you like get a cameo of them in the next one, but it's really about like, they'll have like The Fool's Gold from Susan Mallory, the series. It's each one is about a different couple within the town of Fool's Gold.
Right.
And it would be fun if Hallmark did a little bit of that, it would be like
March is a little bit, it's sort of an anthology where it's a different wedding every time, but it's also about your Jack and Josie characters too.
Yeah, I can see that. But it would be fun. I mean, I feel like maybe we're getting that with Christmas and Evergreen a little bit, it would be fun if they did more of that, I think, with series. Yeah. Because I feel like sometimes with the sequels, they kind of don't know what to do with it. They're sort of, they're like, well, they've already met, so that's kind of our thing. And so they're like, what do we do next with the couple? But people want a sequel.
Because the whole, it to me, I don't want to do a sequel there where they break up ever. Mm-hmm. Because the whole, it sort of negates the original journey that you just watched them go on. Apart only to bring them back together. It has to be other obstacles that I've tried. I've pitched a few and they didn't happen, but I tried to not go to that place because I don't want to negate this journey we all just went on where we loved watching these people fall in love.
Yeah.
And so the conflict has to arise from somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So they did good. They did a good job with that, with the Perfect Bride sequel. Yeah. I think that was a really good one, I think. So all right, well, and then so Love at Sea,
which we talked at length about the cruise ship, which was a super tricky movie to do, and they pulled it off. They did such a beautiful job. It was so hard to film on this ship with 6,000 passengers, and they start to film a scene and like a calypso band starts playing in the background, and they just couldn't interfere with the actual crews. They couldn't be like, can you guys keep it down, please, and stop the limbo? We're trying to film a movie here. They did not care. They were like, you have to just deal. So a lot of the movie had to be dubbed. They had to do a ton of ADR, which is really their lines, because they didn't get a...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast, called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Clean line reading in a lot of these instances, but the director of that, Mel Damski, did Homegrown Christmas, the Lori Loughlin movie. So, and he's so good, and I've worked with him a few times. He's wonderful, and I thought that they did such a great job.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say sometimes I'm pretty picky about my ADR, and that movie didn't bug me for ADR reasons.
They mixed it so well. And they took full advantage of the ship and the romantic places on the ship where they could mine, you know, Carlos and Alexa are like, you know, they're Carlos and Alexa. Like, how can you not just be like, oh, my heart, you know, watching them.
Yeah.
They're so sweet and they're so sweet together. I was thrilled with it. It was a hard one also, because when you're dealing with a brand, you have to honor the Hallmark brand, but at the same time, you've got Royal Caribbean and they have their guidelines. So you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen on something like that. And I thought that they did a great job.
Yeah.
People complained and they were like, it's like a 2-hour commercial for Royal Caribbean, but you're like, it's still a movie. Yeah, there's a lot of Royal Caribbean logos in the background, but you can't avoid that on this ship.
Yeah, that didn't bother me at all. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was solid. I particularly liked Carlos singing, and I liked the fact they got a pretty early kiss. I was a fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like, we are so not losing that scene where he sings. Like, yeah. I had to find, and it's a cruise. Like, of course there's the lounge where everybody sits, and the cruise director wears so many hats on a ship that I was like, he's singing, and nobody fought me on it. They were like, okay,
that's good. Yeah, we were a little bit confused about the his boss. Like, what was her role? Like, what was her job?
I research on like how a cruise ship works.
Uh-huh.
There's the entertainment side, and then there's the hospitality side, and they're separate. And she was the general manager for the entertainment side of things. Like, it's different. Like, all activities and stuff fall under one.
Okay.
One side, and then like I think I'm explaining this horribly, because there's also like the nautical stuff, and then there's hospitality. It's that. It's nautical, and then there's hospitality. So there's the ship, the actual ship operations are one side, and then the hospitality, which is entertainment, hotel management, all of that falls under the other side. So she was the general manager of the hospitality side. That's what it is.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Also, when they were pretending to be the celebrity chef, was that something just for the people on the boat, or was that going out to YouTube?
It was going out to YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were broadcasting all of it to all of her followers.
Oh, okay. So because I was just a little bit confused about, like, if he's a celebrity chef, wouldn't they know what he looked like?
Well, I think that was the whole thing, was like, it was supposed to be a joke. To figure out that he's not coming, but we're gonna still do it without him.
Yeah.
He had a hard time trying to find that big conflict, because none of our conflict could be like, everybody got norovirus or that was anything wrong with the ship. Something with the event had to fall apart. And it couldn't be anything that the ship could have fixed or that the ship had any culpability. So that's what it went. It was really hard to figure out, like, he's a jerk. He didn't show up. The ship's perfect. They had nothing to do with it. So finding that big fourth act four conflict that at the end of the hour was like, oh my God, he's not showing up. It's not the ship's fault. It's, you know.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. You wouldn't want to have like E. coli in the buffet or something like that.
We couldn't be like, what are some things like we couldn't say, oh, you got seasick or anything. Like you can't say anything that would ever deter someone from wanting to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
Which is completely understandable because those things are so, they're more rare, but that's what gets the headlines when there's like an outbreak on a cruise ship or something like that. Like it doesn't happen often at all, but it was just like we couldn't do anything that would shine a light on anything negative cruise wise which they were giving us a lot of production services and the location and the rooms and all of that, so of course we wanted to protect their brand.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, I think you succeeded. I enjoyed watching it. I thought all of the summer movies were really solid. I enjoyed all of them.
There were so many great locations. You know, I watch all of them. I mean, some of them I'm like, we'll half watch while I'm folding laundry or do whatever, but I always want to know what is going on because I don't want to pitch a movie that they've already done. I need to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that I don't repeat myself or so that I don't steal inadvertently something that's already been done.
Well, I mean, I've been known to watch them while doing laundry as well. So don't feel bad.
Well, my kids will watch some of them with me. My kids will watch any Danica movie because they love her so much. They'll watch any Danica movie with me. They'll watch Pumpkin Pie Wars. They want to watch Pumpkin Pie Wars all the time for some
That's and, funny.
Every once in a while, they'll watch it. But then the kiss comes and my daughter's like, ew! Why do you make them kiss? I'm like, honey, someday you'll get it.
More kisses. We want more.
I know. It's like, oh, the one kiss at the end. I was just giving notes on Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe. I was watching the cut and I was typing up my notes and sometimes they listen to me and sometimes they don't. But I was like, we do not linger long enough on that kiss. Like, you got to give me a little more. Something on that kiss, please.
Yes. Oh, thank you for being an advocate.
We've been waiting 2 hours for it.
Yeah.
Give me something I can sink my teeth into.
I was so excited with Falling for You recently. When they had a mid movie kiss.
Oh yeah.
It was so exciting. I was like, yes. It was great.
While I'll throw one of those in.
Yes. So
the mid movie almost kiss the the interrupted almost kiss.
So that's really cool. So, all right. So you have two projects coming up, correct?
So for Hallmark. And one rewrite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. So yeah, you did. So
the last rewrite on Christmas in Love, which had like 43 different titles. So I'm fairly certain Christmas in Love is the final decision.
Yeah. That one got Brooke D'Orsay and Daniel Lissing. So, and you had talked about pitching a one for him for a while, right?
We had something in development there and then it was put on hold and there were a lot of scheduling issues between the two. It was Rachel Boston and Daniel Lissing, and now I don't know if they're gonna make it. I don't know what's happening with it. You know, it sort of fell by the wayside because everybody got so busy and I don't know.
Yeah. So well, I think they called them Christmas Kringles.
Yeah.
What is a Christmas Kringle?
They're these layered pastries. And I guess this is a real thing, which I didn't know. they're these layered pastries that have like filling inside. And there's different kinds. I mean, they were sending pictures of this is what it's going to look like. So I could write to while we were in prep that, so that I could have her explaining like, okay, then you do this and then you fold it over and you've got, it's like a very technical science. And the whole movie is about this guy who's taking over the company from his father. And they have this main factory, which is in White Deer, Missouri, or I don't remember exactly the town. It was a long time ago. It's, you know, usually they film in the summer, and then my last two Christmas movies were both October. So that feels like 3 years ago that I wrote this one. But they, he's taking over, and the dad has this policy that everybody spends time on the bakery floor. Because you can't really know what it is we do in the corporate culture of our company until you've worked in every single division. Mm-hmm. So this guy's going to be taking over. He has to go on the floor, but he doesn't tell them who he is. So I thought it was going to be called Undercover Christmas. That was my suggestion, because it's like Undercover Boss a little bit. And he's got all these ideas for how we can like productivity and digitize, and you know, he's very like business. And then she's like, no, it's love and people and happy. And then, you know, so he learns in the process of coming to this town and working on the bakery floor to make these Kringles. And that's really what keeps this bakery in business, because it's a huge thing around the holidays. People come from all around to buy the Kringles.
Yeah. That sounds fun. I think Undercover Christmas, much better.
I like that title. I think that the concern was it sounds like cops, you know. It sounds like police and detectives and FBI, and I don't think they wanted to go there.
Yeah, I guess. I certainly like it better. You agree, Amber, that's better than Christmas with Love, in Love?
I mean, I think you could have gone with, like, Cookies Undercover, so it wouldn't sound like a cop.
Undercover, yeah, Undercover Kringles or something.
Or like Incognito Christmas. We could, I mean, there was work there. This was this was something they should have sent out in the survey that they send.
Oh, yeah. I think they did want to put Kringles in because they were like, nobody knows what a Kringle is, which is true. I didn't before I worked on
this. Yeah.
But it's cute. I think people are going to like it. And, you know, the audience just loves Dan so much. He's such a superstar. And Brooke Dorsey is just, you watch her and you just smile. Like, you just, like, smile like an idiot because you're like, she's so cute. Like, that's me watching the cut. I was such a dodo because I just couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's come back from the dead. This is very good. I think.
Did you not go to that Hardee's convention, or you don't go to those?
No, we didn't get invited, but
you have to like win a raffle and then also, or be like really fancy. And I guess we're not fancy enough.
I don't think you have to be that fancy, do you?
Well,
we weren't invited. So. I guess we're not that fancy.
Maybe they do have press. That, I mean, I know Ruth went.
Yeah. Ruth and the after Marissa Serafini from AfterBuzz went. So let's talk about Pride and Prejudice and Mistletoe. This is your first film coming out. This will be Thanksgiving week, I believe. And so that's very exciting. So how big of an Austin fan would you say that you are?
So I'm not. I'm a Colin Firth fan. Like when it comes to Jane Austen, it's like it's all about the Colin Firth for me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not a big Jane Austen reader. I haven't read a bunch of her stuff, and I wouldn't have had time anyway in this one because I came on to this project very late. There was another writer on it. It was July that they brought me onto it, and we knew that at the time we were shooting. The dates were, it was like September 27th was our start date. We ended up pushing a week to October 1st or December 24th or September 24th or something. But I came on so late that I didn't read any of the previous writer stuff. They were like, we're starting from scratch.
Oh, page one rewrite, huh?
It wasn't even a page one rewrite. It was just a complete, like, full new project.
Wow.
They, they said, don't read any of these former materials. Don't read the script. That none of it was working for what they needed. And I think it was a newer writer. It's not anybody that I know. I think it was somebody new. And then they put me on it in July and I just started from scratch.
Wow.
And I wrote, it was literally like 6 days I wrote a draft. My first draft was awful. And it was done so quickly. And they were like, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. We got to do blah, 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 blah. I got all these notes. We came, I literally sat there for another 6 days, just like this, because I'm used to having time to put something down, let it breathe, come back to it with fresh eyes. And I didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
So we got it there though. It was a really tough one, but given, you know, the very quick turnaround, but we got it there and it turned out really cute. Mm.
Yeah.
We had to change a lot of stuff in the book. The book is fun and edgy and there's some adult content in the book that we just couldn't do. So we had to make some changes. And Melissa De La Cruz is wonderful and she gets it. This isn't her first rodeo. She knows that, you know, for Hallmark's brand, there are certain things that just aren't going to work. And she's sure. Totally on board and supportive of that.
Yeah. But this is the Pride and Prejudice and Mistletoe book, not the original Pride and Prejudice book. How would you say that this one is different than the Pemberley movie?
Well, because our Darcy is Darcy Fitzwilliam. Our Darcy is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our wealthy investment manager, she's, you know, wealthy coming home. And Luke Bennett is our working class guy. He owns a restaurant and he's, and we've made them, they were sparring partners. They were on the debate team together, but they were always like this. They were always at odds. He was always challenging her he was a guy who liked to poke the bear, and she's a woman who always wants to do everything on her own because she feels like as a Fitzwilliam, she had to prove herself. Nobody was ever going to look at her and say, you've earned that. So she didn't go work for her father. She went out on her own, and there's a lot that's very different.
Mm.
But we tried to keep that basic, the different kind of classes, the different upbringings and how that indicates, you know, who you are and where you're going. And then we tried to keep her, like she's proud, the pride element. And of course, mistletoe, you know, we gotta have that.
Yeah.
But we took liberties.
Yeah.
We took liberties. Yeah. We kind of had to.
Yeah.
To make it work and to distinguish it a little bit more from the Pemberley Manor. So having the role reversal and her being Darcy, was a little different. But they have really cute chemistry together. They had a lot of fun working together. I had texted Brendan and I said, do you have a Christmas movie yet? As I was writing it, I said, do you have a Christmas movie yet? He was like, no, they haven't offered me one yet. And I said, okay, I'm throwing your name in the mix. And I talked to our exec and she called Michelle Vickery, who's the head of programming. And she's like, we were thinking of Brendan for this. And Michelle was like, approved. You know, I mean, it's like, I threw his name in the mix, but it was an easy name to throw out there because they love him so much. And, you know, sometimes I give my suggestions and sometimes they listen.
Yeah. So,
and he was really cute in it.
So was Lacey on the project from like the very get-go?
Yeah, they announced it, I think before they even had a script, they announced it with Lacey attached.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure when Brad Crevoy, who's the producer, when he got the property, I think he immediately attached Lacey to it. So she was on board from the very beginning.
Cool. That sounds fun. I'm hopeful that it'll bring some, I feel like they're going to have nice chemistry between the two of them.
They do.
Yeah.
And they had fun together and it shows. They're good. They're good together.
That's cool. So you didn't feel like at all sort of intimidated making the, you know, Jane Austen kind of inspired adaptation?
No, because I didn't feel like I was adapting Jane Austen, and that there was that, you know, I always feel like I was adapting Melissa De La Cruz, and I always feel a huge responsibility to the author to do right by them. But Jane Austen wasn't the one that I wanted to make happy. It was Melissa De La Cruz. You know, I mean, obviously I can't make Jane Austen happy, but the one that I was concerned about, I wanted to do right by Melissa, because this was her book and her baby, and I wanted her to be happy. And she read, I know she read an early draft, and she was. So I hope that she will be very happy with the final product.
So did you get to go on set for this one?
So I didn't go to that one. The two movies shot at the exact same time. And I was going to go from Vancouver to North Bay, which is outside of Toronto. It's like a couple hours outside of Toronto. It's so hard to get to. It's like a 14-hour travel day to get to North Bay. And I was like, oh, do I go? Do I not go? And I ended up, I was always going to go to the Laurie one, because we pitched to Homegrown Christmas, because Laurie and I pitched that movie together. Like, we were in it together from the beginning. And that one, I was like, I cannot spend two full days traveling. I can't be away from my kids that long. I just don't. So I did not go to that set, which I was sad. Then I was sad, and then they would call me from set, and I would talk to everybody, and I was like, I'm not there with you. You're all off having the party without me.
But you still got the dailies every day and stuff like that.
Every day, and there were changes that they would call me to make the changes and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm in constant contact with them. But I'm happy with how it turned out. They did a great job. And Dom McBrady, the director, also directed Christmas in Love. So we had just done that movie together, and then went into this movie. And that's so we already had sort of a rapport and a shorthand with each other. It was good.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so so Homegrown Christmas. So tell us a little bit about the story for this one that you can.
So Homegrown Christmas was originally, like, it went through a lot of changes from the original story that we pitched. It was originally about a woman who's like super wealthy, and her husband does like a Ponzi scheme, and she loses everything and ends up going home, and she's the fish out of water and that sort of thing. And we ended up losing all of that because we wanted to make her really strong. And Lori, just like Lacey, is so inherently likable.
Yeah.
It's hard to make her unlikable, but we were a little bit worried that somebody who's a little hoity-toity wasn't gonna play well. So we changed it to the story of Lori plays Maddie Finley, and she is a fashion, she has a shoe company that she created on her own. She left her small town, she went to New York, and she had this really successful business, the shoe company, and she felt like she was so focused on her business. Oh, and when she left the small town, her boyfriend Carter was supposed to go with her, and at the last minute he opted to not go. And so she went anyway. She wasn't going to give up on her dreams, and she went anyway. And this is now about 20, 25 years later, when she comes home, and she stepped down from her company because she felt like her work got all of her attention. And so her actual life, she was so busy with this that she didn't focus on her life. And she loves what she's built and she loves what she's done, but she feels like something's missing. She goes home for Christmas, and she and Carter are, you know, they butt heads a little bit, but he still works for her family's business. Her family has a furniture company, and he works for the family's business. And then they're forced to work together to help out her mother, essentially. And they are so fun together. Victor Webster and Lori Loughlin. They are so cute together and so fun. And Lori was an absolute pleasure from our very first meeting to yesterday when she texted me that she loves the movie. So,
oh, yay.
And we want to do more together. She's a pro. She's wonderful. She's collaborative. She's respectful. She's just really, and she's kind to everybody on that set. And I've seen on sets, what happens is from, you know, your star on down, your star sets the tone for your set. And so many of these actresses, they're just so lovely that the set is a wonderful, cohesive
unit. Yeah.
And Lori establishes that.
Yeah, that's a, we've gotten the impression from talking to a lot of actresses, but it just made me think of particularly talking to Catherine Disher. She would say how at the Good Witch set, how Catherine Bell as the number one on the call sheet just sort of set the tone for the whole set. Yeah. And yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. And it's really nice to have, I've never had a number one that wasn't, you know, lovely and wonderful. I really haven't ever experienced that.
Yeah.
I've heard from other people, not in the Hallmark world, about how, you know, somebody comes in and they're throwing their diva around and it's no bueno.
Yeah.
It's not fun for anybody. And people are scared and the crew's all fidgety around, you know, it's just... it's not good, but they don't have those in the Hallmark world.
Yeah, I went to a concert this week, and I ended up sitting next to this guy who was telling me all about, he worked in security, and he was telling me all about these crazy writers that the demand list that some of these musicians have. It was quite interesting.
Sometimes they do it just because they can.
Yeah.
Because they can. They don't really need, like, you know, 16 bottles of Perrier from, you know, this one run off the factory in, you know, March. Like, they get so specific about things, I think, just because they can. And they like to prove their worth that
way. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that none of our queens of Hallmark are behaving in such a way.
I've never experienced or heard, so.
That's good.
I think you'd hear if there were.
Yeah, so this sounds really fun. Where was this filmed?
We did this one in Vancouver, outside of Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
In, where were we? I can't even remember now. It's outside, like, near Langley, Fort Langley, outside of Vancouver. It's about an hour drive.
And is this your, had you worked with Mel Damsky before?
Yes, so that was my third Mel Damsky movie.
Oh, right.
He did Coming Home for Christmas last year with Danica, and the same producers produced the movie, and he did Love at Sea.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
And I love him. He's great. I have a good relationship with him too. So I like knowing the directors and being a part of the team with them. When they embrace me and make me part of the process,
because
I like to see a movie through. Some people turn in their script and be like, go take it and run with it, but I like to see it through to the very end.
Very, very cool. So do you have any projects coming up 2019 that we can in the works?
So what is for sure going to be on the schedule? I'm actually going to pitch I have two pitches in one day with Michelle and Randy and Bill, one with Danica for Christmas 2019 and one with another company that I'm pitching both of them. So I hopefully will get one of those for next Christmas. I don't have anything lined up for next Christmas yet, but I have a wedding movie that we've been working on for a while called The Last Bridesmaid that is, you know, you know what it's about, The Last Bride. It's sort of reminiscent of the Katherine Heigl movie. What was that one? 27 Dresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of reminiscent of, like, the last girl standing after, you know, she's the bridesmaid for everyone and when's it her turn. It's really,
it's the story of it sounds like the story of my life, except for I haven't gotten the happy ending part yet.
Right. Well, you know, that comes at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
It comes, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And then I just closed a couple of deals. One for a summer movie one, I think it's also summer, and then another wedding. But I don't know if the wedding movie is going to happen for next year, if it'll be for the year after, if they'll decide to move it somewhere else in the year, or how that's going to work. But I have four right now that I'm working on.
Wow, that's amazing. You're incredible.
There's plenty of room for Paul Campbell.
Well, listen, there's going to be a Paul Campbell in there somewhere. You know, he and I had met when I was up in Vancouver. We had drinks, and his wife, Lori, came too, because he's friends with my manager. So I feel like I've known him for years, and we've communicated and stuff, but we never had met in person. Mm-hmm. And he invited us to this Oscar party when they were living here. My husband and I, we couldn't find a babysitter that night. It was kind of like short notice, and our nanny already had something. We couldn't find a babysitter, so we didn't go. And I had never met him until I went to Vancouver. And we've been talking about, we want to do something together. And we were talking about just developing something.
Well, you need to get one of these. They need to get one of these in Utah, filmed in Utah.
Utah now.
I know, that would be so fun.
Well, I'll make sure it's a Paul Campbell, because I know that I owe Amber, as both of you, but I know Amber's, you know, Amber's dream. I owe you a set visit with Paul Campbell.
Oh, we would die. It would be so exciting.
We'd be like, well, podcast is over. Can't get better than this.
That's right.
We peaked.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds awesome. We're very excited. So we have you've already done our Team Beat questions, but we have a holiday version.
Oh, and okay.
Feel free to give Hanukkah answers to any of these that you want.
So I do both.
Okay, good. That's right.
Oh, and don't forget, we really do need a Hanukkah movie.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know how that's going to play, though. I don't know if there's a real demand for that. But you never gave me your prediction, or your not your prediction, your scale for my movies coming up, because I haven't watched the preview special yet.
Oh, yeah. I gave Pride and Prejudice and Mistletoe a hopeful sock, only because I didn't really love the book, but I have full confidence in you and read it. And so I'm really hopeful that I will love it. So
I'm not even sure. I was in a sort of fugue state there for a while where it was just like so many movies so fast that I don't even remember, but I feel like I probably would have given it an orange. Does that seem right, Rachel?
I think so. And, you know, honestly, what's that?
I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yeah. And I think we did give Diamond Rings to the Lori Loughlin.
We gave Diamond Rings to the Lori Loughlin one, because the basic synopsis was pretty close to the Emily Osment one, right?
Yes.
Where they plan like a dance.
Yeah.
But I was like, but this one's going to be a million times better. Because I was like, amazing cast. Nina wrote it. Mel Damsky's directing. Like, it's too good.
I sat there watching. Every time Lori just, like, finished a take, I was like, nailed it. Every single time. She is perfection. She is just, I can't say. When I was there and I was sitting there on set, and just, I was like, she just gets it.
Well, I recently became a true, I guess, Lori Loughlin fan, because I really enjoyed the Garage Sale Mysteries. I thought they were funny. I thought they were engaging. I really thought that she was great in those. And I think not that I was against her by any means, but I don't know. I was just, I went from being, yeah, she's cool, to being, oh, I love her. She's amazing. Because I love that. I thought it was so good.
Another wheel of them next year. They're going to do like four more.
Oh, yay.
So, I'm pretty sure I heard that.
That's good. Okay.
What is your favorite holiday drink?
My favorite holiday drink. I mean, I'm on a rosé kick, so I got to go with rosé. That goes for any holiday, right? I think that the Hallmark answer should have been cocoa, but now I'm going to go with rosé.
Yeah, good.
You follow your passions, Nina. All right, and then what is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Oh, so, you know, Danica's mom made that Yule log last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the greatest thing. It's like a giant ho-ho, but it's like sitting on a cloud. It's the most delicious thing ever. I'm for sure going to go with that.
Very good. Yeah, you can't go wrong. I mean, cake, frosty.
Like rolled delicious. Up and it's got this just creamy, like light whipped deliciousness like rolled inside, and it's, I mean, I would literally, you know how you would eat a ho-ho like this, I would just take the whole thing and just be like, like it's a chocolate. It was so amazingly good. I think I probably even told you this. I ate it for breakfast the next day.
Yeah, did you have, like, we know the Kringle, did you have any other desserts that you had to kind of bring to research for Christmas in these others?
No, I did do a little like chestnut, roasted chestnut thing, and Luke's character in Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe makes chocolate chestnut pie, which I don't even know if that's a real thing, but I invented it.
What's it again?
Chocolate chestnut pie.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. He did it. He makes it.
If they do the novelization, I guess it's already books, so I can do a novelization, but if they did, then they could have that be the recipe at the end, you know, like they do.
Oh, you know, right.
Books. Right. Yeah.
We do have, in Lori's movie, we do have a cookie swap though. And it's a cookie swap that goes a little awry, where they share like their recipes and one of the people refuses to share a recipe and it kind of goes rogue and so she has like a fudge cookie with peppermint bark. Ooh. With her homemade peppermint bark. So there's that too. So that can go in the book of Homegrown Christmas. Because that's good. That's funny. I have so many desserts. I didn't even realize how many desserts are in my desserts.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and then what is your favorite holiday song?
Oh, I love, you know, the Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
That's the best. I mean, if that comes on the radio, and now they have this Hallmark, serious Hallmark Christmas channel.
Yeah.
And I just turned it on for the first time this morning when I was driving my kids to school because I have Sirius in my car. And that, I was like, I'm ready. That song comes on, that Mariah Carey song. I think I'm Mariah Carey, and I'm just like, my kids are in the backseat like, you sound bad.
You're like,
I just like, go for it. I love that song. Yeah.
You're like,
that feels like the holidays to me.
Yeah. If you think that we can't listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving, take a listen to this.
I mean, I do want to say this to people who are like, it's not even Thanksgiving lit. I'm like, you know, Jingle Bells, Dashing Through the Snow is about Thanksgiving. Come at me.
I didn't know it was about that, but
yeah, it's a Thanksgiving song. So if you consider that to be Christmassy, then I guess you're wrong. And
also, why do you gotta be a Scrooge? don't watch. If you don't watch Christmas, you have to watch.
That's right.
Ruin everybody else's joy. Why do you gotta be a killjoy? <That's right. laughs> People are ready for some Christmas joy, so let them have it.
Yeah. It's the whole point of Christmas. It's supposed to carry it all the year long.
Right.
Yeah.
People keep saying, I keep reading like comments, people keep saying Hallmark should just have like a Hallmark Christmas channel where they just all year round air all their Christmas movies.
It would be a big hit, I feel.
Content for that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Or they should just have all the movies always available on Hallmark movies now. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't do favorite Christmas movie yet, right?
No.
We just have been talking about them.
Oh, which... my favorite Christmas movie, like, all time?
Yeah.
Elf.
Oh, that is so good.
Really that. Funny. Really
I
funny.
It. I can watch it every year, and I tried to make my kids watch it last year, and they were like, okay. Like, they like the beginning, and then they were like, I don't care about a guy in a publishing company. And then they go. but I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah.
I love Elle.
Keep at it. It's so funny. I love when he goes into that coffee shop. Congratulations.
He's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he's like, you're not Santa.
Right. Yeah. You sit on a throne of lies.
Yeah, my husband always says that. He's like his favorite quote. We love that movie.
It's an excellent choice. Yeah. All right. And then what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Like decorating a tree or something like that.
Like any holiday or Christmas specifically?
I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're the boss, so.
Well, my favorite is, you know, I'm Jewish and my husband's not. So my family gets Thanksgiving, his gets Christmas, and there's just never been a debate about it. It's always, nice. It's always been that way. So it's not like we have to, oh, we get Christmas with my family this year or your family or whatever. So I love Christmas week with, I mean, Thanksgiving week with my family, and we go and we stay at my parents' house, and my sister and her kids live there too, and everybody spends the night at my parents' house every night, and it's like a bunch of sleepover, you know, it's sleeping bags all over the floor, and everybody stays there, so that when we all are together, and we spend 24/7 together, all of us, for a couple of days, and I love that. But this year my nephew just went away to college and he's not coming home for Thanksgiving.
So ooh.
City. He's a New Yorker now. So he's in New York being a musical theater guy. And so he's not gonna be there. I'm sad about that. That's my favorite.
He's grounded.
He's so grounded. Like, I don't care, I'm a New Yorker now. What are you gonna do?
Is a memorable gift that you have either given or received?
Oh my gosh.
Like, do you have a Red Ryder BB gun moment? Like, the thing you wanted?
God, have I never gotten anything that I can't think of? I don't know. I mean, I like, the things that I give... When I give stuff, the things that I remember are the things that I give to my kids that they get so excited about. Like, my daughter really wanted an American Girl doll. And she was like, oh, I want it. And I was like, those things are expensive, by the way. They're like crazy expensive. So I bought her like the faux American Girl doll, the Target brand one. And she opened it and she was like, it's an American Girl doll. She didn't know the difference because she was little and she, you know, didn't know how to read yet. She's an American Girl doll. She was like, Santa gets me. Santa did, but she was just like, it seemed those moments, like, that's the stuff that I'm just like, oh, I love them so much.
That's so
But sad. Then she had, then her cousin was like, that's not a real American Girl doll.
You're like, it's a Canadian Girl doll. This doll will star in a Hallmark movie.
It's American Girl clothes.
Yeah.
It's fine. Plus, it looks just like it. She's like, no, American Girl dolls. That, like, I don't know if it's like the skin is fuzzier. There's something that she looked at it and she was like, oh, no. I was like, you're not family anymore.
Yeah, you're not helping.
But then her mom, who I'm really close with, was like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Well, her name's Kaylee, and there's a character in Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe that I named Kaylee.
Oh, that's
Rachel's
cute.
Close cousin.
That's really cute.
Rachel, my daughter.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, wait.
I'm still going.
Yeah, you're Rachel. Sorry.
All right. And then Scrooge or the Grinch?
Who do I like better?
Yeah.
See, Rachel wrote this question. I had a problem with
the Grinch, for sure.
Well, they're both kind of grouchy characters about Christmas, so.
Better songs.
That's fair.
Yeah. Colored lights or clear lights?
Clear.
I agree.
I like clean and crisp and sharp, and I like clear.
Yeah. Nina, you get me.
Santa, like Santa also.
Your daughter.
Yeah.
Santa. You get me too, Amber.
All right. And then are you a good gift wrapper or a not so good gift wrapper?
Oh, I'm like, here's a bag from the grocery store with some tissue paper in it.
I mean, it's a good way. All right. And then what is your ugliest sweater?
Christmas sweater.
I bought one for last year for coming home for Christmas. We did a screening party and I bought this like weird looking, like ugly sweater that says Merry Christmas, you filthy animal on it. And I would have to say that probably.
Yeah. Well, it sounds incredible.
It was, you know, bought for a purpose, but I would say it's not attractive in any way.
Great. Well, you passed the test once again.
Oh, my God. I get so nervous that I'm going to disappoint you. I think all I have to do is bring up Paul Campbell, and I'm like, they still like me.
Yeah.
That's how I know that you get me.
Paul Campbell of it all. Right.
Well, you are the best. We love you.
Oh, you guys are too. Thank you. Thank you for always supporting me and my career and my movies, even if they sometimes get socks.
Okay. It's just a preview. So.
I mean, you might give me socks. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll be fair. We are super unbiased.
Yeah.
We judge on the work product and the work product alone.
I get no special treatment. No. I'm at the Three Timers Club.
Yeah, even though we are constantly being like, well, Nina could write that. Like, we're coming up with our fantasy stories of movies we want, and we're like, yeah, Nina can write it. And then Paul Campbell star.
All right.
Yeah, so. Okay.
But you got to give me, like, 4 months to get some work done.
Okay, no, good. I mean, there is literally no deadline on any of these.
For a couple of months. I mean, already like closed.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, we could just set up a whole movie just based on people we've interviewed, because we could have Lee Friedlander direct, because we interviewed her. We could have you write.
We have to have like a writer's room. It would have to be like me and Tracy and
Joa. Yeah.
And Joa. Yeah. We'll all have a writer's room.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even imagine how amazing the dialogue in that movie would be.
Oh, it would be so good.
Normally to each other, there's a lot of four-letter words that don't.
We can maybe have it be, we can like submit it to Showtime or something, or Netflix or something like that.
It's certainly not going to be on brand for Hallmark. But you know, we know the brand. We know how to get it there.
Good. Well, how can people find you on like social media or whatever if they want to?
So I'm on Twitter. I think on Instagram I'm Nina Weinman Swift. I think on Twitter I'm Nina Weinman Swift too. I think I'm both.
Great.
That's me.
Okay, great. We'll have that in the description section. And Amber, how can people find you?
As always, I'm at Amber Brainwaves on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and YouTube, so check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod, on all of our social media. Please put in your reviews on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Helps us out a lot. And if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, and that would be great. And thanks again, Nina. We're so looking forward to all your many upcoming projects. And Merry Christmas!
Thank you so much.
And Happy Hanukkah.
That's
happy
right.
Hanukkah, happy, I mean Thanksgiving, really.
That. And Happy Thanksgiving.
And Halloween, which was 2 days ago.
And Veterans Day. All the holidays.
Happy everything. Merry all of it.
Yes. All right. Bye.